So I want to highlight some stuff to us this morning, and I'm going to read from the book of Joshua here in a moment, but just for some backstory, before I read this verse in Joshua, this is where the children of Israel finally get to walk into the promised land. But before that takes place, Moses leads them out of Egypt, and God performs signs and wonders in Egypt to even draw them out of Egypt. And then God parts the Red Sea, and they walk through on dry ground to escape the Egyptians as they're pursuing them. And then God leads them into the wilderness and continues to perform miracles and signs and wonders and provides for them. They start to complain that, you know, God led them in the desert because he just wanted to starve them to death. And God's like, fine, I'll provide food for you. And he provides this bread-like substance on the ground each and every morning. They didn't even know what to call it, so they called it manna, which means, what is it? They didn't even know what to call it. But God provided that for them, provided quail, and provided so many other different ways through miraculous means for them as they were in the wilderness. Yet so many times they grumbled and they complained and they actually turned their backs on God through all those miracles and wonders. And God's like, fine, since you're going to be like this way, you're not going to get to step into the promised land, but your kids will get to step in. And so here we are now at this point where that former generation has passed on and their kids are now at the precipice of stepping in to the promised land that God said he would lead them into. And as they go, God tells Joshua, and where they were is they were at the banks of the Jordan River, which separated the wilderness from the promised land, and they needed to cross it to get into the promised land. But at this point in time, it was the season of flood stage for the Jordan, so this was not an easy cross. So God told Joshua, have the priests with the Ark of the Covenant go first and step their foot in the river, and I will part the river just like I parted the Red Sea. So Joshua explains to the priests, and they begin to walk. And as soon as you can read this in the Bible, it says, as soon as the sole of their foot hit the water, it parted. And dry ground was created, and Israel began to walk across on dry ground past the Jordan and in to the promised land. And so we're going to pick it up here now in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you will lodge tonight. So the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they as soon as they stepped into the water, it parted, and they walked to the middle of the riverbed, and they stood there until the entirety of Israel crossed over the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And God then tells Joshua, grab some stones from where they were standing, take them, and set them up to where you are going to stay tonight. Continuing on in verse 20, it says this, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, or Gilgal. And if you wanted a title for today's message, it's called Set Up a Stone. So they set these stones up at Gilgal, and it says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord and your God forever. Take these stones and set them up as a reminder of what God did, so that you will not forget. And then tell your kids when they ask you, what are these, what's this pile of rocks here for, Dad? It's like, well, let me tell you a story. One that will probably be hard for you to believe. And then God says, continue to pass that on and tell them, don't ever forget. And many times as you read through in Scripture, you will see how this was actually done many different times, where they would set up a stone or a pile of stones to remind them or bring to remembrance what God had done in specific instances, and to remind them of miracles that God had done so that they would not forget. And so they would do that, and every time they would come to that place and pass by, it would remind them. And God actually tells them to do that so that they would not forget, because we are a forgetful people. Like, again, like I went to Africa this year. Feels like 5 years ago. But I went to Africa for a mission trip this year. But I'm glad that I have pictures. Like, I'm going through a bunch of pictures on our computer recently. I'm like, oh, yeah, we went there, we did that. And it's like, I'm glad I have all these reminders, not just of what has happened in our family, but also of what God has done in our life. So we need to have reminders because we are forgetful. Something that I have set up in my house, when I was still in college and still had dreams of becoming a professional baseball player, I prayed, and said, God, I pray that someday I'll be a professional baseball player. Maybe I know that I'm not quite good enough to make it to the major leagues, but I know I'm good enough at some level to be professional at some level. And how many know that there's different levels of professional baseball? And all you need to do to be a professional at something is get paid for it. So it's like, God, I know I'm good enough at some level. Well, college ended. I got zero offers. So I was like, okay, I guess that dream is dying, but that's okay, God, you're still good. And he led me into a lot of different other things. But several years later, a professional baseball league and team came to this town. How many have heard of the Grace Harbor Gulls? Okay, and they had a stint back in the 90s, and then another time they came, I was probably 8, 9, no, wait, my daughter's almost 12. It was 12 years ago, guys, 11 years ago. Whew. Okay, so they came back, and I was like, oh, maybe I should try out. And so I prayed about it, and I felt like God say, yeah, go ahead, give it a go. And when I first got there, I was like, okay, these guys are pretty good. I don't even know what I'm doing here. But after giving it my all, the coaches said, you know what? We want to offer you a spot on the team. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And so I remember walking into the coach's office, and they had the contract out there for me, and I signed the contract, and I was like, I'm a professional baseball player. Now, I can tell you they did not pay very much, but I got paid to play baseball. Not many people can say that. Now, the league only lasted a few months as they lost their funding and it folded, but I can legitimately say I was a professional baseball player and I got paid. And I have that contract still framed up on my wall to remind me of that. Not just of the fact that I achieved that, but also the fact that God is good and he blessed me with that. I also have a notebook that I write many things down, and things that are memorable in my life, but also mostly just things that God has done in my life, so that I can remember where I was, where God has brought me from to the place that I am today. And I go back probably at least every few months, and I go back and I read through this, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I prayed for back then. God, you fulfilled that prayer right here. And it helps remind me of the miracles and the good things that God has done in my life. So I encourage you as well. These are like modern day stones that I have set up as reminders of what God has done. And I encourage you as well to set up stones in your life so that you do not forget what God has done in your life as well. And then it's not just for your remembrance, but it's so that you can tell the story to others. So that you can tell your kids, hey, This is what God did in my life. Dad, what is... So when my kids, what is that piece of paper up there on the wall? Well, let me tell you a story of how I got to be a professional baseball player for a couple of months. And I get to tell them how God is good and how sometimes he just blesses even if we don't deserve it. And so we're supposed to tell the next generation of what God has done. Tell of the miracles that he's done in our life. Let me tell you, son, of how God provided for me in this situation, how he gave me this job. Let me tell you of how, you know, your grandma was healed of this sickness. We need to remember and we need to tell people. We need to tell the next generation so they also know of God's goodness. Psalm 78. 1-4 says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings." Now, this does not mean that we're conjuring the spells and stuff up. What it actually means is like a riddle or like a saying that is commonly known to mean something like the early bird gets the worm. We all have an understanding that that means, you know, show up to work early, be on time, be a hard worker, and you're going to prosper. So tell of these common sayings, and say, and it says, "From of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." So tell them. Tell them. Also, as we read through Scripture, we see that as they set up stones as reminders of the miracles that God has done, you see that stones were set up as reminders of promises or covenants between God and man, but also between man and man. And many times you will see in Scripture where the two come together and they come to an agreement, many times for land, like transactions and stuff like that, and they say, "We are setting up this stone as a reminder between you and me that you have sold this piece of land to me, so that we both know that this took place this day." And you'll see that many times in Scripture, and how it was a reminder of these promises, and promises again between man and man, but also between God and man. And we have these in our modern-day culture as well. I am wearing a wedding ring, and I gave my wife a wedding ring. We probably need to get it resized. But she has one as well, and these are tokens. These are a visual reminder and representation that we have promised to guard and protect our marriage, and that we are only... going to be, and that we are committed to each other. Now, personally, I would say I don't need my ring to know that I need to be committed to this lovely woman because I love her so much. But it's it's a reminder, and we have reminders like this in our modern day culture as well. So we need to have these as well of the covenants and promises that God has given us and that we have promised to God as well. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." God has given us commandments, and we need to remember them. And we need to put things down to help us remember them. And to remember that God's promise is, if we obey his commandments, is that his prosperity and blessing and protection will be with us. He has another promise in here that if we do not trust God, if we do not obey his commands, there's another promise that there's a curse. Not that he's going to curse us, but the curse is going to come upon us because there's no protection. That's why God gave us his written word, so that we can have it as a reminder of his promises of blessing, of his promises of that lack of blessing if we walk away. Now, as the children of Israel crossed over into the promised land and as time went on, they actually stopped passing down the stories of the miracles of God. Stopped passing down the commandments that God had given them. In Judges 2:10-13, it says this, "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." How can that be? How could they not know of the miracles that God had done? It's because their fathers didn't tell them. And the people of Israel, look what happens. "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals," or other gods. "And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Asheroth." Because their parents didn't tell them of the works of God, the goodness of God, they didn't know God. And they wandered off and they walked away and they fell. And as a result of that, they were led into captivity. So we have a responsibility to tell the next generation, tell them of what God has done, but also tell them his commandments. I remember so many lessons in my life that God has taught me, and I want to tell my kids. I want them to know. I want them to not make the same mistakes that I have made. I want them to enjoy some of the victories that I've had. So it's my responsibility. If I don't want my son to make the same stupid mistakes that I've made, it's my responsibility as a parent to teach him. It's our responsibility to teach the next generation, to teach our kids, physically, literally, and metaphorically. It's on, and I'm going to speak this to you personally, it's on you to teach the next generation. It's not just my responsibility, or my wife's responsibility, or a leader's responsibility. Because I know that there was still some good leaders in that day saying, hey, don't turn away from God. But Israel did turn away from God because their individual parents weren't teaching them. It takes a people. It takes a people to raise a people. Each and every one of us are responsible for doing this. We need to teach the next generation. Psalm 78, 5-8 says, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children." He commanded our fathers to teach their children. "That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." We can't stop telling of what God has done. We can't stop praising him. We can't stop teaching the next generation. It is our responsibility so that they will know and that they will teach their kids and that they will teach their kids and it will just continue on. This is another thing that happens when we tell of God's great works, when we tell of what God has done, it brings hope to somebody else. If they hear the miraculous work that God has done in your life, and in the lives of others, like if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. If God blessed them through their obedience and going after him, maybe that blessing is for me as well, if I obey God and entrust my life to him. So we need to. It's our responsibility. It's the commandment of God, again, as it says in this verse, which God commanded our fathers to teach their children. It's his commandment that we pass this on. As we close, I just want to read this last scripture. Psalms 103, 1 through 5, and it says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, or another translation says sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do not forget all of his benefits, and tell the next generation of all of his benefits as well. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. As it just says in that verse, the greatest benefit and blessing that God has ever given us was the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus, through what he did on the cross. Jesus chose to die a sinner's death so that we may be forgiven of all of our sin, so that we may be redeemed and rescued out of the pit. And I want to give an opportunity to anybody who is here this morning who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord, who has not accepted that forgiveness of sins yet. So if I could just have every head bowed and eye closed, if you are here this morning and you would say that, I want this to be my day where I have my sins washed away, where I get to enjoy that benefit and blessing. So if that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Is there anybody like that says, I want Jesus? Anybody like that? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see those hands over there. Thank you. These are for those online as well. So we're going to pray this prayer together. You just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me of my sin. And help me from this day forward to live for you. And help me to remember that my sins are forgiven forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. If I could have the prayer team come forward. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward to get prayer. Also, if you gave your life to Christ this morning, I encourage you to come tell one of our prayer team people. They have some materials to hand you to help you in just the next steps in your walk with Christ. Which one of the next steps are getting water baptized, baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting signed up for our Fresh Start class, which begins at the end of January. But as we close this morning, let's just worship and praise God for what he has done this last year. And let's not forget, and let's tell of his great works and deeds. Amen? Amen. Amen.